and I am your host for today, and I'm sitting in for Juanita, our regular host. Thanks for listening, and welcome to Inside Scoop Live. I am really delighted to be speaking on the phone today with Julius Scott. He's also known as Scotty, and that's what we're going to be referring him to. And he is the author of the book, Explore the Book of Revelation. And it was published through Infinity Publishing. And now I'm going to introduce you to Julius Scott. He is a retired electronics engineer, and Scotty worked for a spherographical company for about 17 years. In 1969, Scotty joined the Ford Aerospace at the Johnson Mann Space Center in Houston. He retired from Ford Aerospace after 21 years of service. Wow, that's a long time to be in one place. The broadcast industry found a space video from NASA had so many problems that they demanded NASA provide broadcast standard video or they would not broadcast NASA's videos. So Scotty ended up being the lead engineer on the project that provided the equipment that converted the space video to broadcast standard video. That was quite an accomplishment for him, I'm sure. Scotty earned his BSEE from Hofstra University in 1969 and a Master of Electronic Engineering from the University of Houston in 1974. Hi, Scotty. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for the lovely introduction.
Well, I'm really glad to have you here. And the book, Explore the Book of Revelations. Just, I'm really interested in knowing how, there you are, an engineer and really into the mechanics of the workings of that. All of a sudden, you're writing the book on Revelation. So just tell us a little bit more of how that came about.
Okay. I had done some book writing on technical subjects while I was working. But after I retired, I became very interested in Revelations, and I attended every Revelation class that was presented in close to my home for like 15 years. And there was so much misinformation and downright attacks on specific denominations that I decided I really needed to write the book, Explore the Book of Revelations.
So how did you come up with the fact that there were so many misunderstandings or misrepresentations in the book itself?
The classes I attended, you know, some of them were just downright attacks on other denominations, which, you know, has nothing at all to do with Revelations. And some of them were just have blown the pictorial representations in Revelations up to extents where they no longer make sense. So the period that John was writing this, he was under severe persecution by the Roman Empire. This is one of the peak periods of their persecution of Christians. And he had to counterfeit or design his words so it could not be tracked back to the attack on the Roman Empire, or they would have taken his life immediately. So a lot of this is just where his situation was at the time, which causes so much confusion today.
And so what do you think, why are there so many different misinterpretations and attacks rather than what you're saying, you know, going to the core, the truth of it? Like, what is really happening that there are so many different ways of looking, people look at it?
This is a ancient writing form where they used pictures or described pictures of events to convey messages. Well, that's not too familiar with us today. And when people read this, they get all wrapped up in the pictures being presented and lose track of the main theme of the story.
Oh, okay. So basically, I guess it comes from their own perception and how they perceive it, really, and then consider it as being the gospel truth, in other words.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So
some of them just have a vendetta against trying to make their particular denomination seem superior to some other denomination. So
That's common. That's very common, isn't it? And everybody seems to want to be right. So Well, it seems like that you've really done a lot of research into this, and so I'm wondering how much research really went into this, and where was your research directed? Did you use other interpretations, and you did say you had, you went to classes and so on, but I just want to know where you really, get to the core of this information that really works for you, and then, in turn to write the book.
Yeah, well, when I was going to school, I found that if I really addressed the book and studied the book, I really didn't need a teacher. And that's kind of true with Revelations. You don't yet understand Revelations the first time you read it. You don't understand it the second time you read it. But eventually, you start picking up different points as you reread it and reread it. And I have read Revelations many, many times in that 15-year period while I was attending, all the classes that I could attend.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So this, I understand, the book of Revelation actually spans from the about the time that Christ was born to actually past our lifetime now, to the end of the world as we know it. And so maybe let's just start at the beginning and just tell me more about the beginning of Revelation.
Okay, the Revelations was written by the Apostle John, and he was confined to a small rocky island, Patmos, and he was there because of his testimony about Jesus Christ. God the Father gave his knowledge of the earth's future to Jesus Christ, the Son, who revealed it to John. John recorded all of the spoken verses. He wrote them down. But, of course, he had no way of relaying the images that he saw. He was given these images by Jesus Christ. And so we lose a lot in not having those images. However, what we do have is plenty to understand what's going on in Revelations and what our future will be.
And I just want to retract a little bit. You say that he was given images, and I would just like to go a little bit more into that. In what form were these images given to him?
There's four times that John is in the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever he is in the Spirit, he is receiving images of like God's throne or different symbologies whenever he's in the image, in the Spirit. So.
Okay. Just to explain to our listening audience that may not be aware of what you mean by in the Spirit, what does that mean?
We are people that have a physical body,
mm-hmm.
which is a very perishable body, and we're only here whenever you understand eternity. We're only here for just a moment, and then we vanish. But along with that, we have a spiritual being, which is indestructible and will be here not only with us now, but it will be here with us whenever we go to our final judgment, which could be thousands of years from now.
Okay, and I want to talk a little bit more about that. So you say it's indestructible, but what happens when the physical body dies? What happens to this in the Spirit, as you're saying, and now you're saying also that it could be thousands of years before the final judgment. So what happens in that space of time?
You're put in a sleep-like mode. I think the best example of this is when Christ was on the cross, he yielded his spirit to God and died.
Mm-hmm.
So his physical body died, but his spirit was with God.
With God. Okay. Well, that makes sense. Now, you mentioned also final judgment, and so the book of Revelation speaks about that. So let's just kind of do the skip forward, and to what does final judgment day look like?
Okay. Yeah.
We, you know, assuming that we can understand what has been written.
Yeah. Well, at the we have several different stages here. There's one which the people that were beheaded because of their testimony about Jesus Christ are resurrected first, and they rule with Jesus over the nation in the 1,000 years that Satan is confined to the bottomless pit. The rest of us are brought before the judgment after the bowl judgments are complete. And each one of us will be, all of our beliefs and our deeds will be reviewed and judged. Now, those that believe in Jesus Christ and have proven it by their deeds will be allowed to enter the New Jerusalem. Those that don't have a lot of heat to go through.
Okay. So when you speak about deeds, just tell our listening audience what your interpretation of deeds are.
Okay, there's a multitude of different deeds. Whenever you say hello to somebody as you're walking past them, it gives them a lift. That's a deed. Right? Whenever you do a favor for somebody, that's a deed. When you guide somebody to Christ, certainly that's a deed. The contributions you make to church, of course, are deeds. The contributions you make as far as foodstuff or aiding the poor, these are deeds. So deeds are not just material things you do. They're also quasi-spiritual things that you do.
Mm-hmm.
Brightening somebody's day or cheering somebody up.
It's just actually all around a good person is what I'm hearing you say.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You had just mentioned about Satan being in the bottomless pit, and I'd like to explore that area too, and give me a visualization of what this bottomless pit is that Satan's in.
Okay. We're really not given much information on the abyss or our bottomless pit. We're told of some destruction to the earth which could have produced this bottomless pit, but we're not really given a lot of insight into it. The only thing we're really given is that Satan is confined there for 1,000 years while Jesus Christ is and his followers are ruling the nations. Now, that opens up another bag of worms as far as these nations coming from, if they're not.
Mm-hmm. My next question. So go right into it.
We have the first destruction of the earth. We have the believers removed from, harvested from the earth. And later on, we have a major turnaround in Jewish belief, and they accept Jesus Christ. And here's for the 144,000 that have remained true to their original tribes are sent out to bring the word of God to the nations. Now, whenever you take all of the believers out of the earth, that only leaves those that don't believe, right?
Uh-huh.
And most of our deterioration of ourselves and of our world occur during these people of that don't believe and don't feel that they're responsible for the earth and its environment. So you can get into situations where you have very rapid deterioration of our environment. Well, I'm rambling.
No, that's fine. This is really good information. I'm sure that our listeners are interested in hearing this and your viewpoint on this. So you also mentioned 1,000 years. And now, could you give me that timeline? Is that 1,000 years happening right now, or has it happened, or is it about to happen? Where in our lives does this 1,000 years actually exist?
Okay, this 1,000 years exists in the trumpet judgments. We are now in the sealed judgments.
In the field?
Fields, yeah, F-E-A-L-S.
Oh, okay, fields, okay.
It's the least severe of the judgments, and it only affects 25% of the earth. At the end of that time, when Christ comes and restores the earth, then there is no doubt anymore about Christ being the Son of God. After he comes and restores the earth and restores our atmosphere. So that fact itself causes a lot of conversions to believe in Jesus Christ. Now, when the 144,000 complete their task, which is to bring people to Christ, then the bowl judgments will start. There'll be, again, a harvest of the believers, and the field judgments, the bowl judgments will start. And the bowl judgments are total judgments, where the other two judgments were for a quarter or a third of the earth. The bowl judgments are for the complete earth and all people. And this happens when there is no more conversions to Christ. So it's time for the battle of good and evil to be over. And that is the bowl judgment.
Okay. So am I hearing you say then it, in your belief system, that those that do want to be saved and to exist in a new earth, that they need to convert to believe in Jesus Christ?
Yes. Now, let's go back and see why that's true.
Okay.
There's... you remember, Adam and Eve were told that they were sinful. We were told simply that they were disobedient. They ate a forbidden fruit and were cast out of the garden. Now, today we have people that believe, for instance, that speeding is not a sin. But we have to remember that Adam and Eve were cast out of the garden purely because of disobedience. So our disobedience of a law that was established by a government that is being tolerated by God is a sin against the disobedience of God's law. So whenever you look at it in that perspective, there is nobody that hasn't sinned. And penalty for sin is death. Now, Jesus Christ gave his life on the cross to forgive our sins. So if we accept Jesus Christ and accept that we are sinful, we have been disobedient, then we are forgiven of our sins and we're allowed in the vicinity of God. Now, if you go back to Genesis, when Abraham was receiving the Ten Commandments, people were climbing the mountain to try to get a glimpse of God. And all of those that did that were struck dead, because sin cannot exist in the presence of God. So with our disobedient nature, we have to have the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ to forgive us of our sins, so that we can approach our God.
Okay, that's great. Thanks for the explanation.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Inside Scoop Live is a global internet-based broadcast specializing in interviewing published authors about their current books and areas of expertise. I'm Juanita Watson, the host of the show, and invite you to join me as I bring to the air both well-known and upcoming writers. You will hear my guests talk candidly about their books, their life experience, specific topics, and the business of being an author in today's literary world. Always interesting and current, my intention is to bring our audience high-quality discussions that spotlight a vast diversity of authors in the field today. Our interviews are syndicated and archived for availability 24/7 through direct podcast and MP3 download, And as always, I love to hear from listeners. Have a look at our website, InsideScoopLive.com. Send me an email, comment on previous guests, and let me know who you'd like to hear on the show. I'll do my best to bring you your favorite authors live and direct.
Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. We are speaking today with author Julia Scott, also known as Scotty, about his recently published book, It's For the Book of Revelation. And again, you can find out more about Scotty and his book on explorethebookofrevelation.com, or you can actually check out explorerevelation.com. And there's just all kinds of information there for you, too. And so what this brings to me then, and, you know, back to my original question on this, was, so what about the Muslims and the Hindus and the Buddhists that also feel, that feel differently?
I'm really not that informed about them, but the fact remains that if they don't believe in Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for our sins, then they have no way of being in the presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
So it's harsh, but it's...
Yeah, and, you know, you say it's harsh, and that's one belief system. So I just feel that probably some of the Muslims or the Hindus or Buddhists that are listening to this also feel that, you know, they have their own way to God. So probably this is one of those never-ending arguments. So I'm And the main thing is that we do have our own belief system, and, you know, it works for us. So I want to talk a little bit about restoration of the earth. Now, what does the book of Revelation explain as to what, when Jesus Christ comes back to this earth plane and restores the earth, what is it going to look like?
Well, it's going to be a much larger earth than we're used to.
What do you mean by a larger earth? In dynamics and circumference and, you know, the physical form, or what is it that you mean by larger?
We're not told, you know, the dimensions on it, right?
Uh-huh.
We are told that it will support a 100 million mounted troops. Now, I don't think any nation in our world can afford to maintain that large a mobile force. So this is a much larger population and a much stronger economy than we have.
Now, and these will all be believers of Jesus Christ then. This is going to be an earth, a world of believers in Jesus, and then and representing of what the belief is. Is this what you're saying then?
No.
No? Okay, then I misunderstood. So just explain that to me a little more.
Okay, here we're looking at here the end of the seal judgments.
Okay.
And whenever we get there, we have a harvesting of the believers.
Uh-huh.
So whenever we go into the trumpet judgments, we're going into a place that they have witnessed Jesus Christ coming to save the world and
uh-huh.
to restore the environment. And that produces a bunch more believers in Jesus Christ.
Okay.
And then whenever the work of the 144,000 is complete, where there's no more conversions to Christ, then we have another harvest of the believers. And at that time, we go into the bowl judgments, which is
okay.
the final judgment.
Okay, so it's going to be in stages then?
Yes.
Okay, so what happens to those that do not convert?
Well, they're going to be thrown into the lake of burning sulfur.
Oh, okay. And where is this, a physical lake, or is this a metaphor for what's going to happen to them?
I believe it's a metaphor.
A metaphor, yeah. And this metaphor is going to represent what?
It's all the people that have rejected Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Now, there's some confusion there because there's a place where the people that were beheaded because of their beliefs.
Right.
Ruling the nations with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. Now, we have one category where you believe and you're accepted into the New Jerusalem, mm-hmm. or you do not believe, and you're cast into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. But then where the people come from that are in these nations, right?
Right.
So there's something else that we're not told, but does exist.
Well, I'm sure some people have interpretations of that too, but do you actually believe that Satan is here on Earth right now? Or do you believe that he's someplace in that bottomless pit?
No. He's, I think, quite evident that he's here with all the violence and the evil things that are going on in the world today.
Okay. And so for our listening audience, just explain in your terms what Satan is. Is this a physical force? Is it a physical being? What is it?
It's the summation of all of our temptations.
I just need to kind of take this one step at a time. A summation of all our temptations.
Yes.
Everyone, you mean on Earth right now?
Yes, is being tempted in one way or another.
Okay, so help me understand this more. So then your temptations and my temptations are put together, and this is part of Satan. Is Satan, is that correct?
This is Satan's or his fallen angels that are tempting you with these things, yes.
Okay, and so when we talk about temptations, you had just mentioned violence and evil things that go on, so are you also saying, the violence is pretty major, are you also saying a temptation would be, I was just going to minimize something here, like you had said earlier, a speeding ticket. So speeding, is that a temptation?
Well, speeding is disobedience.
It's disobedience. Now, so that's different. So give me some examples of temptations.
A minute. It's different in a way, but in a way it's the same.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Obedience is the thing that Adam and Eve did, right? And it's something that we all inherited. We have all, even as children, we're taught that, if we cry, we get special favors, right? We get, and then as we get older, our abilities to gain either favor or advantages grow stronger. So all of these are sins, right? They're not, and there's no level of sin, right? Murder is a sinner, adulteress is a sinner, and our society doesn't consider those two as anywhere near the same severity, but they're both sins. They both require the blood of Jesus Christ to give us forgiveness of those sins.
So do you believe that forgiveness is possible for things like adultery or murder?
Yes, I'm sure they are.
Okay. And
no,
so, go ahead.
There is no sin that we commit that is larger than Jesus Christ.
Okay, so then we have to go through a process ourselves and ask to be forgiven for these particular sins and ask Jesus to forgive. Is that what you're saying?
That's right. That's correct.
Okay, good. And so then how do we know we're forgiven?
Well, you have to have the faith to know that you're forgiven, right? That Jesus said he would forgive you. And so you have to have the faith in his word that he really did mean that he would forgive you.
Do you feel that people, and maybe from, you can talk about your own experience, that once they have asked Jesus to forgive their sins or a particular sin that they're working on at that time, that they themselves, there's like a knowing or a, something comes over them, like a revelation, using the pun, that they are forgiven. Do people actually get that feeling and the knowing?
I believe they do.
Yeah.
It's, you have to accept the forgiveness, right?
Uh-huh.
That if you ask for forgiveness and you don't believe you're going to get it, then you won't get it. But if you ask for forgiveness and you believe that you have received it, you indeed have received it. But you have to have, you can't be double-minded, right? You can't be asking for forgiveness and then saying, I'm not going to get forgiveness, because you've got opposing signs there. And
of course.
And you won't get either one, right?
Yeah, right. You have to be pretty much centered yourself to be able to, you know, have the faith, really.
Absolutely.
And go through the process in believing that this actually, you will be forgiven. Otherwise, why even bother?
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, the book of Revelation is very, very powerful. And I can understand why you were so interested in this and actually went ahead and, you know, wrote the book, too, to help your readers understand it even more so. And I really commend you in doing that. And so how do you see the book of Revelation appearing now in our society, in our world? What is, you know, where are we at? Where are we in what is being written in the book of Revelation? Does that make sense? Gosh.
Well, the Revelation is God's love story to
mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
right? And it's basically God begging us to come through Jesus Christ to him. And you know, if we approach it in that manner, then it's open for all human beings, right?
Right, yeah.
And it's just God's love story today.
Well, and I can hear the passion in your voice that this really is something that you believe and you know is going to be your truth.
Yes.
Yes, and I can really hear that. And it just gives me a pleasure when people are so passionate about what they believe. And so our time is coming to an end, Scotty, but what I want to do is give you the opportunity to talk to our listening audience and just maybe briefly, you know, what words do you have to say to them?
Well, you know, the study of Revelation is a multiple reading task, and there's a couple of things that you need to key on. One is, in the beginning, it promises you blessings for reading this book and doing what it commands. And then in chapter 22, we have a warning that you have to be careful of how you use this book, or you could deprive yourself of the blessings contained in it and even bring back some punishments for your misuse of it. So it's a blessing book and also a danger book. You have to be very careful with it.
Thank you very much. It's been a real pleasure talking to you, Scotty. And, gosh, listeners, you can find out more about Scotty's book on explorethebookofrevelation.com. And also, he has a study guide that is on, gosh, what is that again, thebookofrevelation.com? Is that correct, Scotty?
Yes.
Yes.
Right.
And I was on that site today and just looking around, you have a lot of information there.
Okay, that's www.explorerevelations.com.
Explorerevelations.com, okay.
It's a color version of the same book, where this book sells for $19.95.
Mm-hmm.
That's a $45 book, but it's not really published yet, but it's full color.
Ah, okay.
All of the biblical quotes mm-hmm. are in red. And it's got a lot more scriptural references in it
mm-hmm.
than explorethebookofrevelations.com does.
That's great. Again, thank you very much for spending the time with us and giving us so much insight in your book and you and, you know, your beliefs. And what I'd like to do at this time is also remind the listening audience that, again, they can link to your website on explorethebookofrevelation.com, but also they can go to explorerevelation.com and just find the full-color book, as you mentioned. So thank you again for being with us, Scotty.
Well, thank you very much for the interview. It was delightful.
It was delightful. Thank you very much. And listeners, I'm your host, Irene Watson, and thank you very much for listening. Bye for now.